Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government
to keep it alive.
When I launched a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Welcome. You're listening to the Tokens Radio Show. It's Tuesday, May the 20th. My name's Christy.
I'm Linda.
And we're broadcasting from KCNR Studios on the dial at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM in Redding, California. And we're streaming online at KCNR1460.com. You can follow us on X at Tokens Radio Show for updates and commentary. And we have the marvelous Ben producing for us tonight.
We do.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
How are you?
Good.
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 It's been a few weeks, I feel like.
Yeah, it has.
It has been.
It has been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Glad that you're here. I'm glad that we're here. So in any case, oh my gosh, Bitcoin has been, what has happened to Bitcoin?
Boom.
Yes, I'm
liking it.
Is that even going to work? Nope. I just did a sound effect that no one heard. So there you go.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? But I was reading something today, you know, it's like gold and stuff. You know, everybody was like, oh, don't worry about it. As soon as it goes boom, then everybody wants it.
Of course.
So
isn't
I'm just making,
goes?
Yeah,
that's
Bitcoin
FOMO,
went
right?
boom.
Yep.
So yeah.
Bitcoin went boom.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's what we're going to talk about tonight. So we have a jam-packed episode. And, oh my gosh, Bitcoin's like just had a market surge. It's back over 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was up to what, 107 yesterday. And I believe we were at it's 106 right before we got to show. And, ETFs are pulling in billions of dollars.
Yeah.
We'll explore why Bitcoin's poised to blast past 200,000 with killer clips.
Toot, toot.
Toot, toot.
Yeah.
A corporate buy-in and hilarious, oh my gosh, hilarious Financial Times plot. So we ran long clips just because this is really, really good. And then we're going to talk about Schrodinger's wallet. It's a segment that tackles the empowerment and pitfalls of Bitcoin self-custody that yours truly is also struggles with as well. Plus, we'll unpack why Americans are saving just 0.6% of their income and how trade deals might spark an economic comeback or push more into Bitcoin. So stick around for the full scoop after a brief market update and a word from your sponsor.
You mean it might be a little bit different than what they're saying out there on the mainstream media about everything that's going on in the economy?
Yeah, so.
Anyhow.
Everybody says look left, but if you need to look right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so Bitcoin, just before we came on, was at $106,730.40. IBIT ETF, $60.91.
Wow.
Yeah. ETH, $2,532.69. XRP, $7. $235. Looking right at the 2 cents.
I'm going to go sell some.
Yeah. No, I'm going, And Strategy at $416.92.
Yeah, that's doing really well. So if you have that in your stock portfolio, oh my goodness, the Magnificent Seven right there. One of the Magnificent Seven. So,
ching ching.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
My friends.
So our friends at the Queen of Dragons, home of fresh and local sponsors today's show. Excuse me. They offer careful, cultivated, unique strands with elevated experiences, exotic genetics, and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Shop their selection and schedule a delivery at www.thequeenofdragons.com or stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
Well, let's go warm this up with a little Eric
Bitcoin
Trump.
Bitcoin is truly digital gold. It's the greatest hedge you could possibly have against, you know, hard assets. And we are a hard asset family in that it's immediately liquid. You can transfer it anywhere around the world. You can take it anywhere around the world. You know, it's, you know, 24/7, 7 days a week. It's an unbelievable store of value. And again, you know, real estate, and real estate's my bread and butter, but, you know, real estate's none of those things. If I want to go sell a hotel, it could take me, you know, 12 months to do that transaction. It's illiquid. Now, it's a great store of value, no question about it, but Bitcoin is almost the perfect complement toward, you know, the world that we love so much. And so, between kind of being forced into an industry, having a lot of like-minded people in that industry who are also getting absolutely melee'd by the very people who were coming after us, it brought together kind of a unique allegiance. And, you know, Bitcoin and Hut 8, what they do, they're phenomenal at what they do. And it's kind of the perfect synergy between, you know, myself, Don, and a company that's already amazing where you go out.
That says a lot.
It does when you, like he says, you know, real estate is their business, been their business.
Right.
They've got a lot of money. I mean, it's not like they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, and that clip was titled, Bitcoin is Better. And that was his explanation as to why. I mean, you can, it's as good as real estate, if not better. And it's something that you can move very quickly, which you cannot move real estate that quick.
There is nothing else you can move that quick, I don't think.
No.
You know, Bitcoin's at the top of the pile on that one, and we've talked about it many times, you know, that could make a big difference in somebody's wealth.
Oh, it sure can. Absolutely.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet. Well, a quick little news update here. Bitcoin's been trading steady between 104 and 107,000, hitting a high of 107,148 yesterday. It's up 5% from Sunday's $102,000 low. That was just the low.
The low. Yeah. Okay. I'll take the low.
Strong institutional interest drives $6.9 billion into the Bitcoin ETFs over 3 weeks, with $785 million just last week alone. Futures markets show robust demand with $72.63 billion in open interest. Despite a brief dip to 103,000, Bitcoin recovered to 105 by Tuesday, today, nearing its January peak of $109,356. Yeah. On-chain data and technical indicators suggest confidence in an upward trend, though some warn of a short-term pullback, which you've got to expect. There's going to be profit-taking and, and shuffling around. And with a $2.1 trillion market cap and a 63 to 65% market share, Bitcoin's optimism is tempered by U.S. debt concerns. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got two killer clips diving into why Bitcoin's ready to rocket past 200,000. First, we will hit the data. Corporates and miners are fueling a massive bull run. Then it's a laugh out loud takedown on the Financial Times. Epic Bitcoin blunder. So let's go with this and see what it tells us.
All right, here we go.
Bitcoin is looking more and more like a coiled spring, ready to explode upward in price. Today, we look at more data that suggests the real parabolic phase of this bull run might be imminent. Plus, we look at the hilarious and embarrassing Financial Times film on Michael Saylor, MicroStrategy, and Bitcoin that is taking Bitcoin Twitter by storm.
My teeth are pretty scarce.
And why it's a perfect example of how even now, with Bitcoin sitting pretty over six figures, we're still profoundly early. There's no question. Bitcoin is having an absolutely historic run of positive news and catalysts over the last year plus. It started with the ETF launch in January of 2024, continued with the network's four supply halving in April, then came the US presidential run where several key candidates ran with pro-Bitcoin policies. Much of the recent run culminated in Donald Trump's election win, his inauguration, and the subsequent creation of a strategic Bitcoin reserve, where the White House has repeatedly said it intends to make the US the global Bitcoin superpower. And now that trade war fears have mostly subsided and new Bitcoin treasury companies are emerging almost weekly, raising billions to acquire huge amounts of the scarcest asset on earth, this bull run looks primed for the next leg higher. Now I've got a few data points and charts to look at that reinforce this setup. First up, corporate adoption. This chart from Bitwise shows that in 2025 alone, corporate Bitcoin purchases have outpaced new supply for mining by over 3 times. Let that sink in. Corporate buyers alone are absorbing 3 times the new Bitcoin supply. And this isn't slowing down. The rise of Bitcoin treasury companies employing the leveraged Bitcoin equity model, pioneered by Michael Saylor and his company Strategy, is accelerating. Many are now labeling this the Bitcoin treasury cycle, with top price predictions revised well over 200K. That said, this new class of buyers introduces risk. The aggressive use of leverage means we may face a sharp correction or deleveraging event, possibly in 2026 or 2027. Some of these firms will overextend. Some will get wiped out. But others? They'll become the backbone of the next era of corporate Bitcoin strategy. Lean, well-capitalized, and built to survive the bear. Okay, so the next bullish chart is one from Blockware. What you're looking at is one of Bitcoin's most telling long-term indicators, the relationship between the price and the average miner break-even cost. The black line is Bitcoin's market price. The green line shows how much it costs on average to mine one Bitcoin, including electricity, hardware, and operational costs. But look at those blue arrows on the left. Each one marks a moment when price was near break-even, and each one came just before a large gap up in Bitcoin's price. Why? Because when Bitcoin trades close to the cost of production, miners are under pressure to sell to survive. But as price pulls away, like you see in the first two red arrows, miners become more profitable and can afford to hold. That reduces sell pressure and tightens supply, setting the stage for upwards momentum. After the 2024 halving, the break-even cost spiked, but price surged even faster. That widening gap you see in the two arrows on the right, that's the signal. When miners are healthy and demand keeps growing, Bitcoin doesn't just go up, it accelerates. And as you can see, we've just started that acceleration. But what if I told you even after crossing $100,000 that Bitcoin hasn't really broken out yet? This final chart shows Bitcoin price not in dollars but in gold, the asset it's most often compared to as a store of value. And what we see is striking. In gold terms, Bitcoin is still sitting just below its 2021 highs. That means all of the fiat price action we've seen since has simply brought us back to the same place when measured in hard money terms. And that's what makes this setup so bullish. For 4 years, Bitcoin has been consolidating just below this level like a massive coiled spring. The last attempt to break through, it got denied. But now, we're pressing up against that ceiling again. This time with stronger fundamentals, more institutional support, and a drastically reduced supply flow post-halving. If Bitcoin breaks out in gold terms, it won't just be another headline rally. It will signal that Bitcoin is outperforming the hardest money of the last 5,000 years. And that's following gold's historic 2025 performance. And when this happens, it's not just price discovery, it's a monetary repricing event.
Man, I'm pumped. Bitcoin's just on fire. It's so excited. Companies are buying faster than miners can produce. I mean, it's been that way for a while. And what about the gold chart? My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're on the verge of something huge, wouldn't you say?
I would say huge is right. But the next segment that we have is where it gets fun.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, the Financial Times tries to get Bitcoin to fail spectacularly. You imagine that, that they would do that, you know, like my teeth are scared.
I loved it when she said that. Did she actually say that on, you know, live TV? But in any case.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's a masterclass in why we're still early to Bitcoin, like what we've been talking about. So here we go.
Here we go.
All right. So now that we're all deliriously bullish for the rest of the year, let's talk about why, despite all of this, we're still early. The Financial Times released a short documentary called Michael Saylor's $40 billion Bitcoin Bet. And let me just say, it's incredible. Not because it's insightful, but because it's a masterclass in missing the point. Let's roll a few highlight clips and break it down.
The FT does this kind of lighthearted thing every year where we have a stock picking competition. And in my list of shorts, I put MicroStrategy. And I got annihilated. And what I want to do is understand what it is that I'm missing here.
Okay. What are people missing about Bitcoin, and what are they missing about Strategy?
This is Michael Saylor. His company, Strategy, owns more Bitcoin than any other on the planet. Right now, that's about $50 billion worth. And in the crypto world, that makes him kind of a big deal.
Michael Saylor.
Michael Saylor.
Michael Saylor.
Michael Saylor.
Michael Saylor, MicroStrategy.
The man who never sells, Michael Saylor!
It's a great hook, right? Financial Times market analyst Katie Martin took on research for this film after getting absolutely wrecked in 2024, shorting Strategy stock, and finishing near last in an FT stock picking competition.
I was number 1,360.
Oh. I take it back, you're not a medium-sized idiot. You are a full-sized idiot.
I bombed so badly. So that was me getting roundly laughed at for coming fifth from bottom out of over 1,000 FT staff and readers in last year's FT stock picking competition. For the FT's markets columnist, that's not great. And it happened because I bet the price of shares in MicroStrategy, once a little known software company, would fall in 2024. What actually happened was that MicroStrategy's share price increased by almost 400% in a single year, massively outperforming Nvidia, Meta, Tesla, Apple, and many, many more. That's given it a market capitalization of $100 billion, which is much more than oil giant BP. And if you're wondering how it did this, I have one word for you. Bitcoin.
So what begins looking like a market analyst doing their due diligence and research on how Strategy did so incredibly well with a simple and aggressive Bitcoin acquisition strategy very quickly turns into a total embarrassment for Katie and for the Financial Times.
Bitcoin is not for the faint-hearted. With no obvious use case, it's an inherently speculative bet. And by using borrowed money to buy it, Strategy has increased both the risks and the rewards. If Bitcoin's value drops, losses could be deeper, but if it rises, the gains could be even greater.
Katie repeatedly shows her ignorance on the fundamentals and value proposition of Bitcoin, even stating over and over again that she doesn't get it. She should have spent more time studying Bitcoin than MicroStrategy, as understanding the former is a prerequisite to understanding the latter, and the scarcity of her teeth moment might end up in Bitcoin meme history forever.
Bitcoin maxis like Jeff and Michael Saylor believe in the value embedded in Bitcoin because of its scarcity. I still don't get this. My teeth are pretty scarce and pretty useful, but they're not worth billions of bucks.
This clip, while obviously hilarious and endless fodder for Bitcoin memes, really underlines why she's so confused about Bitcoin. She hasn't done the work to look at Bitcoin through the lens of monetary history. And one can't blame Katie for this, as I'm sure many of you can attest to being completely ignorant to one of the paramount questions of our times. What is money? If she had, she would have quickly compared this table of monetary properties and given her teeth a proper grade, and seen that they don't hold a tooth to the hardest monies in the world in gold and Bitcoin. What I find most shocking about this documentary is that by the end of all her research, Katie even admits that she still doesn't get MicroStrategy or Bitcoin at all.
Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how Strategy or Bitcoin are going to perform in the future. My track record here sucks, and I genuinely have no idea. But I would argue that no one else really truly has any idea either, which is why I get nervous for retail investors like Jeff, who've put all their eggs in Strategy's basket. Even with a more crypto-friendly administration in the White House, if things go south on this trade, there won't be any cavalry coming to the rescue. This is the concern I've had about Strategy all along. It's part of the reason I shorted the company in last year's FT stock picking competition. There's still a lot about this company and stock and Bitcoin that I still don't get. But hey, I've been wrong before. I can be wrong again.
At least she has the humility to admit that she may be wrong here, because she clearly is. And that's okay. I don't want to use this video as another platform to bash and pile on Katie, because this is the massive blind spot of the majority of Bitcoin skeptics, including myself and many of you watching before we went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole. The vast majority of people are utterly confused by it, but instead of investing more of their time to better understand it, they double down on their ignorance through preconceived doubts and misconceptions. The only difference between the lifelong skeptic and current or future Bitcoin believers is a special kind of curiosity to fill the gaps in your understanding. And that takes humility to challenge your preconceptions and many hours of studying. Now, I'll admit I loved watching every minute of this documentary. It wasn't even painful for me to watch. It was entertaining. And it helps that it was actually very well produced and edited. It's also the perfect nod to the incredible time we are living through right now. No matter the countless tailwinds and bullish catalysts that keep stacking up for Bitcoin the last few years, it's wild to see how early we still are, and how few people are willing to put in the work to understand this monetary singularity. So rejoice in the fact that you are early, and that you're blessed enough to be one of the select few who see this life-altering technological revolution and reject the temptation to dunk on Katie and others who unapologetically don't get it yet. Try your best to be kind, patient, and compassionate towards those that are in the same position as you were before you had your life altered for the better by the revelation of Bitcoin. We have a newfound hope for the future that many in the clutches of fiat nihilism don't have. Let's try our best to be a light to those that are still living in monetary darkness.
Okay, Hurley. Yeah. I get what you're saying, but I'm going to dunk on her. This is a financial reporter who should know better, but she had blinders on. I was going to say something else, but we're on the radio. And so she had blinders on and chose to just be a disbeliever. And so, yeah, there are a lot of people who think this way.
Yep.
And it is early, but that is a financial person. I mean, even listen to CNBC reporters. They get it.
They're starting to, we've talked before, and I think we've mentioned it on here. Even on the radio, like when you listen, when you're driving and you get financial planners or people on, they're even starting to talk about Bitcoin before.
Right.
It was like, no.
And it was hands off. They weren't allowed to.
They weren't allowed
cases.
To. And now it's changing.
But I just think you couldn't come up with something else like, your teeth are scarce.
My teeth are scarce.
But at least you can replace your teeth with something false. You can't replace the Bitcoin with false Bitcoin.
That's an interesting thing. No. That won't work too well.
There is fool's gold.
That's
true. It's not the same thing, but if you're going to use the teeth thing, come on.
But what were people doing or probably still doing was taking, whether it was gold bars or gold coin, supposedly, but they weren't gold.
Right. They would just do the top layer.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have a friend that knows how to test that.
Yeah, they've got to test things. Yeah. So anyway,
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, you never know. Well, you're listening to Tokens Radio Show here at 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
A cancer diagnosis changes everything. But at Valor Oncology, located right here in Reading, you'll never face it alone. At some places, you see a rotating door of doctors, unfamiliar faces who don't know your history. But at Valor, you'll see the same expert team, a team that knows you, your treatment plan, and your journey. We have a Harvard-trained oncologist, a highly skilled female breast surgeon, compassionate and experienced nurses and nurse practitioners, and an incredibly dedicated staff that genuinely cares for you and your family. Our cutting-edge technology rivals top universities, but it's right here in Reading. You deserve the best care and a team that stays by your side. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in Reading, focused on you. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Good day. Welcome to This Week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, to provide the latest local updates. Two teens aged 14 and 15 were arrested in Tehama County for plotting a mass casualty attack on Evergreen Middle School in Cottonwood. The plot, uncovered by a Tennessee Gamer's alert to authorities, involved bombs and a manifesto aiming to kill up to 100 people. Sheriff Dave Kane praised the gamers' vigilance, noting the teens' photos mimicked Columbine shooters. The suspects face charges including conspiracy and possession of destructive devices. They remain in custody, with a court date set for May 20th. Increased security measures are in place at the school. While the community breathes a sigh of relief, parents voice lingering concerns. The thwarted attack on Evergreen Middle School has left Cottonwood parents rattled. Many, like local resident Sarah Eads, express gratitude for the Tennessee teen who reported the plot but worry about recurring school threats. The suspects, arrested May 11th, had planned the attack for May 9th but backed out. Sheriff's deputies, working with school officials, identified the teens after receiving incriminating photos. Charges include criminal threats and conspiracy. Parents are calling for enhanced safety measures reflecting broader anxieties about school security. The incident underscores the community's resilience, but also its vulnerabilities. Beyond physical safety, another issue looms large for local youth. Concerns are mounting in Shasta County over social media's impact on youth mental health. Experts warn that platforms, including gaming chats like those linked to the Evergreen Middle School plot, can amplify harmful behaviors and isolation. Local educators and parents report rising anxiety and depression among teens, fueled by online pressures. Community leaders are pushing for digital literacy programs and mental health resources to counter these effects. The issue resonates deeply as families grapple with balancing technology's benefits and risks, especially after recent events exposed online spaces' potential dangers. Amid these challenges, a heartwarming story of community support shines through. Shasta County residents are uniting to support a beloved online activist needing a lung transplant. The activist, known for advocating local causes, faces a critical health battle, prompting an outpouring of donations and fundraising events. Community members from Redding to Anderson are organizing benefits, with local businesses pitching in. The campaign highlights the activist's impact, from environmental advocacy to youth mentorship. Organizers aim to cover medical costs and travel for treatment. This collective effort showcases the North State spirit, offering hope and solidarity in tough times. Find more local stories on our social media, Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook, at Town Hall News on X, and mountaintopmedia.com. From all of us at Town Hall Brief, thanks for listening.
And we're back. Yeah, and there's gold in the mail.
Yeah.
They don't even have to go to the hill.
That's right.
You know what I mean? We just know that there's gold. So, good old Bitcoin.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, we're going to be picking up where we left off before we went to break. And talking about Bitcoin, of course, and the economy, you know?
Yeah.
And that gold, that other gold.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, have you ever heard of Schrodinger's wallet? How about you, Ben? Have you heard of Schrodinger's wallet?
I have not.
So, have you ever done something where you pay a lot of attention to it, and then you go, well, I'm comfortable with it. It might be, I don't know, a savings account or something like that, and you put the booklet away or whatever the accounting is away and you don't worry about it anymore. Maybe you've got some gold or your silver or whatever laying around and you just don't worry about it anymore. I think we all do stuff like that.
Yeah. We do.
Yeah. Yes. Cause
on all levels.
We're comfortable, right? So we're
out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly. And you know, that happens with self-custody too. Which, you know, if you're going to be into Bitcoin, you know, if it's, the old saying is not your keys, not your coin, and that means self-custody. So you don't want to have your Bitcoin or your crypto sitting on some exchange, you know, like some of the big ones starting with the name Coin, for instance, or, you know, just you don't want to leave your Bitcoin there.
No, because, you know, that one had a bit of problem last week.
Yes, indeed. So, This is hopefully going to be empowering and maybe wake you up. And it can feel like maybe a ticking time bomb, but I don't know. Let's go ahead and let's unpack this. You ready to go?
I am ready to go, Christy. I've got my hardware wallet stashed in a drawer somewhere, like you said. I forgot all about it. I'm wondering if I should dig it out now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You should.
So, what's this thing you're calling Schrodinger's wallet?
Yeah, yeah, I love it. So, I'm glad that you're getting this. So,
yeah, because you know we do.
We do.
Whether it's finances, whether it's our health, a lot of times working out at the gym.
Yep.
How easy it is to get out of the routine and go, I'll pick it up later.
Yeah, exactly. So picture this. Bitcoin lets you hold wealth without banks or governments. It's total freedom, right?
Yeah.
And self-custody, like using a hardware wallet, is how we make that happen. We don't need an intermediary. But here's the catch. After you set it up and send a few test transactions, what do you do with that wallet?
I stick it in a safe place and pray I don't lose the key or forget where the heck I put it.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, I haven't touched mine for a while. And we were talking about this not too long.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I need to do some transferring. It's like, I forgot all about it, kind of in a way, you know?
Yeah, and that's what happens. And I think it happens to more people than they would like to admit. And I'm certainly one of those people, too. And so many people do it. They hide it away. They tell themselves it's secure and they never have to check it. Or, you know, maybe we better plug it back in. Or if they're leaving it on an old phone, you know, where you took out your SIM card and reset it and, you know, you're keeping it in the phone and you're going, gosh, maybe I ought to charge that thing, right? And see if it works.
Well, you do know as we get older, I don't know about you, but me, as I get older, sometimes I do stuff and it's like, I just had that. Or I know that I just put that there, but it's not there. You know?
Yeah.
But you're so positive that your wallet is where you put it and everything's good. And like you say, it's all charged up and everything's good.
Right. And when I say charged up, because, you know, hardware wallets, you don't have to charge them, but some people use
an old phone
as a hardware wallet, and that's absolutely just fine. But, you know, over time, your confidence can turn into doubt if you're going, oh, my gosh, I should be doing that. So now you're thinking more along the lines, and there's a little worry in there, maybe, is it okay? And you're scared to touch it because what if it's gone? And that's what Schrodinger's wallet, it's like the cat in the box. It's both safe and lost until you open it.
I kind of love that metaphor.
Yeah.
My wallet's kind of alive and it's kind of dead.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think's going on here? What do we, you know, how does this happen to us?
Well, it's a paradox, and self-custody is supposed to empower us, right? But it can end up feeling like a trap. Think about it. Every time you plug in that wallet, enter a PIN, or update the firmware, it's like defusing a bomb. One wrong move and poof, your Bitcoin could be gone. But is it really gone?
That's true. You made a good point there. Made me think, you know, if you don't bring it out once in a while and use it, how many times do you have to do an update and on different stuff?
Right.
Or different software and you're holding your breath. You know, I may screw up.
Yeah.
Maybe I messed up my seed phrase or something, you know? I mean, the bigger I get in Bitcoin, my Bitcoin stash gets, I mean, I get a little scared.
Yeah.
I'm even kind of paranoid on some things, okay?
It can make you paranoid. I know somebody where they hadn't accessed their Ledger wallet for some time. And then they finally accessed it, and then they had to do a firmware update.
That's what I mean.
And probably didn't need to do a firmware update, but this person, I think, went down a rabbit hole and was misdirected. And I'm not sure if they'll ever be able to recover their cryptos because of the crypto hygiene work that wasn't done a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't always know. I don't know. You know, some of us aren't techie at all.
Yeah.
And if something comes on and says click here, sometimes you don't pay as close attention as what you should.
That's right.
You know?
It comes to your cryptos, you want to be really, really careful. And you don't even want to use, like, I'm going off of my outline here, but you just don't want to use like a Google browser. I mean, you want to go into a safe browser
Google.
You want to use like Brave and shut everything else down. Shut your auto backup down. Turn it all off. And if you could just work on your cryptos on a separate computer from everything else that you're doing,
you don't
want to buy your Amazon stuff on the same computer that you're using your cryptos, right? You know, because there's tracking.
There's cookies
and tracking and all sorts of things. So in any case, it's a common thing. It's just not you. It's human nature that this happens. And then there's this thing called loss aversion. We're more scared of losing our Bitcoin than excited about using it. Ooh.
Wow. Yeah.
Plus, a lot of us don't fully get how seed phrases or the blockchain work. So we avoid the wallet altogether. It's like, if I don't touch it, I can't break it.
Yep, that's my motto. I'm raising my hand. The people can't see me, but I'm raising my hand. Because I don't know all the ins and outs of it. Mm-hmm. And it does scare me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If I'm not touching my wallet or anything, how could I have a problem? What could go wrong? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to keep it safe, though, too.
Sure. Absolutely. And that's the trap. A wallet you never use isn't a vault. It's a time capsule. And if you're not testing it, you don't know if your seed phrase is correct. If the device still works, or if you even remember how to use it, years go by and what was once empowering starts to feel fragile. So it's coming down to the key phrases. You know, the seed phrases are the most important things because, you know, the Bitcoin's really not stored on that device. It's not. It's on the blockchain.
Oh, well, that's true.
Your seed phrases was what allows you to recover.
Okay.
And that's why you have seed phrases. So there, but you do want to use this device because it is simple. It's just a much more streamlined way of managing your own.
Yeah, but
crypto.
It's kind of stressing. Yeah. You know,
it is stressful.
It is very stressful.
Am I stressing you out?
You kind of are. You know, because we're always talking about at the core of Bitcoin is self custody, right?
Right.
Be your own bank, we say, right?
Yep.
Well, I hope you're not telling me to give it up.
Nope, you don't want to give that up. Self-custody is sacred. It is, you know, that's the sacred cow. It's what makes Bitcoin, Bitcoin, really. But it's not a set it and forget it deal, kind of like buying your Bitcoin like we talk about all the time,
right? We say that all the time, set it and forget it, just go on.
Just you can set it and forget it. But that's also a mechanism where somebody else is getting paid to manage that.
Third party.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
You're paying a fee for that service.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're taking care of your own stuff. It's like, I hate to do the plumber analogy. Plumbers have usually got the worst maintained house. Yeah, they have the plumbing problems and all of that because they're not dealing with it. But, you know, it's a skill. It's a skill like riding a bike, skateboard, whatever.
You got to practice staying sharp. Anything like that. Yeah, you have to be up on everything that's going on around you and the new things.
Sending test transactions, you know, checking your seed phrase or making a plan for your heirs. That's huge right there. I think about that one a lot. Otherwise, entropy. Okay, that's a word here.
Entropy.
We're
going to
use entropy. It's a gradual decline into disorder. That's what it means. So you gradually decline into this like state of chaos and like, oh my gosh, I got myself into a mess now, right? And it creeps in and then your setup degrades over time. So you don't want to get to that point. And the whole thing about with your heirs, that's something I think about a lot.
Yeah, I'm starting to more and more.
And even though we've taken the steps, I'm going to say we're probably 90% of the way there. We got all our documents and everything done, but the piece that's missing is the heir themselves need to know where things are, how to access them, you know, it's a lot to deal with.
Right. So I have to say entropy?
Yeah, entropy. How do you like that?
That's a pretty fancy word. I have to say, I don't think I've ever heard of it before.
That word out just for you.
Yeah, I'm glad. What are friends for anyway? You know?
You're welcome.
I love you too. So anyway, let's get down to the practical stuff. What can I do to make this wallet or my wallet less, I'm going to do the big word, Schrodinkery, less Schrodinkery, so that I'm not, all stressed out about this. I'm falling apart, so I don't have entropy.
Yeah, we're not going to do any Schrodinkery, okay? So here's a quick checklist. First, test your setup once a year. Send a tiny transaction to make sure everything works.
Okay.
So do you remember when we were at Swan Bitcoin a couple years ago? It was the Pacific Bitcoin.
I do.
And we were all sitting in the room, and we were testing Moon, the Moon wallet.
Yes, I do remember that.
And we sent, like, 0.0001 sats, right? And it was right there. It was
boom.
Instant. It was
yeah,
on the
it
Lightning
was.
Network.
It was.
So that's kind of what you're doing. You're not going to be incurring a big fee. You're just going to be testing it, right? Making sure everything works. You want to secure your seed phrase. Maybe etch it into metal or split it up with something like a Shamir secret sharing so it's not all in one place. That would be like multi-signature.
Yeah, I need to do more of that. Mm-hmm. The metal thing kind of, I have a really hard time with that in a way.
I have a lot of redundancy in mind, so I'm okay with what I have, but the metal plates.
I know people that do it.
Yeah,
I get it.
I'm one of those people though that I've thought about the metal plate and then I would pick up the wrong template, right? And as you're tapping your number into the plate, I would look at that and go, I would say a cuss word and then probably go, oh my gosh. And I think that's why they send you two. But, but I can see myself doing something silly like that. Yeah. So in any case.
Not enough confidence in that department, I guess.
Well, it could be confidence or just, just doing stupidity stuff, not paying attention.
Yeah.
Or not seeing, hey, that 3 looked like an 8. Or that 5 looked like a 6. Happens to me a lot.
Oh. Every once in a while, now that you mentioned that, I will superimpose certain numbers.
Yeah.
It depends if I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, me too.
And it's like, did I really do that?
Yes, and we actually drive on these streets. So there you go. So 30.
Not after midnight.
No, not at all. Not even after 7. 30, you want to plan for the future. Write down instructions for your family in case you're not around. So, and that's really, really, like I said, that's one thing that does concern me a lot. I want to make sure our loved ones know exactly where, when, and why, and how to do some.
Yeah, I need to do that. I'm going to start writing it down so I can get it together. But I still get a little nervous.
Yeah.
About this,
And then keep your wallet's firmware updated, but follow the manufacturer's guide to do it safely.
Yeah, see, that's where I get a little, a little fearful, is that techie stuff, because I've had it happen to me.
Sure. Everybody.
Yeah, you can look at something and it looks almost exactly like it's supposed to look. And then when you click on it or you get ready to, you look at it and you see one little thing that isn't quite right. Or something.
Yeah.
And you go, bad word, but anyhow.
Yeah.
So there's.
Is that doable for you?
Yeah, I think so. But there's got to be other options out there, maybe.
Yeah.
That we can do.
There are. That's a great question.
So I don't, I don't trust myself. Like we're talking of not messing up somewhere.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's
fair
just
enough.
Me. That's just me.
It's a great, great comment, and I think a lot of people feel that way. And self-custody isn't a one-size-fits-all. It depends on who you are. Someone with a small stack, a big stack, or maybe you're a tech wizard, folks with a small amount of Bitcoin, a hardware wallet with those regular checks we talked about is probably just fine.
But you may have a small amount of Bitcoin, and it's only worth a little bit right now, but if everything goes the way that we say,
sure,
that small amount can actually be quite big.
Yeah. Yes, and you can even practice in what's called a test net. It's like a fake blockchain where you can't lose real money.
Ooh, I kind of like that idea.
Yeah.
Oh, play like Monopoly Bitcoin?
Yeah.
I like that. That sounds like a fun thing to do.
So, yeah. And so for high worth, net worth folks, you might want something more robust like multi-institutional custody. And this is where your private key is split into pieces, and each piece is held by a different company. It's a little different than multi-signature, where your pieces are held by another person.
I kind of like that idea in a way.
And I think it's going to be more costly, so you're going to need to have a larger amount to make the cost of having multi-institutions participating in your custody, but multi-signature might be the better way to go.
But we have known people that, you know, that have quite a bit.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
That would be a great application for them.
I agree.
To protect themselves.
So for those who are wondering, what is this multi-institution custody? It's where your private key is split into pieces, and each piece is held by a different company. You need to have a quorum, say 2 out of 3 to move funds. And you're still in control of everything, but you don't have to worry about losing a device or a seed phrase. It's like having a super secure vault without the DIY strap.
I was
going to
say, it's almost like a safe deposit box in a way, except even stepped up, because a safe deposit box, you only need 2 people.
Right.
Where this is, you know, 2 or 3 different people.
Right. Yeah. So, now... there's a trade-off. MIC, the multi-institutional custody, is super secure, but it's probably expensive. It's not available everywhere, and you're relying on institutions, which it's against Bitcoiners' ethos. It's not perfect for everyone, but that's where there are other options like multi-signature wallets or multi-sig. You hold multiple keys yourself, say 2 out of 3. So if you lose one, you're still okay. It's trustless. But you need to have some tech skills. And,
a little education.
Yes.
Our
good friend, Christine, has suggested that and has practiced with it.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
I mean, multi-sig sounds good. It sounds kind of hardcore, depending on what you got going on and what your knowledge is. You know, what's your education in that world? I'm sure there's other things out there, too, that can be used to help.
You can, and you can even work with organizations like SWAN, who will do a SWAN vault for you.
Oh,
so it's not multi-institutional custody. It's on the multi-sig guidelines. And then there's social recovery, where you give key shares to trusted friends or family, or collaborative custody, where a company helps with backups, but you keep control.
See,
there's a lot of things coming about.
Yeah, that could work, but, you know, just because of the way life is sometimes, you wonder, if something happens to one of those people, then what happens? You know what I mean?
Well, you have backups to that. So, yeah.
You have backup
It may not be, you know, the best option. So, and the whole thing is about, moving from symbolic sovereignty to operational resilience.
Okay.
That means building systems that work for real people, not just Bitcoin superheroes. And in the future, we might see some cool stuff like better hardware wallets with biometrics, which I think some of them are already there. New tech like Taproot that makes multi-sig easier. For now, it's about staying engaged and don't let your wallet gather dust.
Well, just like anything like that, you know, like we were talking before we came on air about the internet and progressing and, you know, anything like that that's introduced at first, it's kind of clumpy maybe, if that's a term.
Right.
You know, and each time it gets a little better, a little faster, a little easier, a little friendlier to the user on the other side because, you know, some of us aren't tech geeks, we admit it, but, you know,
we all learn these computers that we're using right now, right? So are you feeling inspired?
I am.
Go get your device out of your drawer.
Well, I don't know if I'll do it tonight, but yeah, it's definitely something on the bucket list to, you know, shore it up, you know, and not be so creepy into the box, you know, be into the, you know, what was the word that you gave? Schrodinger's box, you know, and forget about it. But we do that. We pigeonhole so many things when you stop and think about it.
So, you know, so just to touch on it, make a plan. If you haven't checked in on your wallet lately, open it up, test a small transaction. You can send me some if you like. I'd be glad to receive it for you.
I bet you would.
Check your seed phrase, and if it feels overwhelming, check out resources like Bitcoin security guides on sites like bitcoin.org or join a community forum. And you don't have to do this alone. You can reach out to us. We're on X at Tokens Radio Show. And your Bitcoin's yours. Keep it that way by making your custody rock solid.
But I have to say, you know, and we say it over and over again, when you start, and I still do it, you know, send very little, especially if you haven't touched it for a while
right.
or whatever. Don't go, okay, I'm transferring it all right,
right.
now. Little baby steps.
Yeah, that's how we were taught, right? And do that test send.
Yeah, because.
Yes.
I put it in the drawer and forget about it. I have to really think about how to do it sometimes. It's not an easy process for me. I have to really think about the steps I need to take to do it correctly.
Yep, for sure. So, and you can use, if you're going to send a little test to yourself, you can use an online wallet and a hardware wallet and send a little test. You can certainly do that, a very small amount. You know, just so you're sending it to yourself. You don't have to send it to somebody else.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, you can certainly do that.
So,
wow, we have whipped through all
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, so maybe if you haven't touched your wallet for a while, or even if you have, maybe it's time to go back in there and revisit it and make sure everything is, you know, lined up how you want it. If not, start working on it.
You go back and say, hello, Trezor, or Ledger, or Jade, or CoinKite, or whatever you have. Let me take that dust off of you. Let me clean you up just a little bit here.
And then you don't be too hard on yourself when you go, oh, crap, I thought I did that. Or, crap, I thought I had that covered. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and don't be too hard on yourself at all.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
This is a very common problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have loved to have had somebody call in and share that with us. But, well, we had a couple more clips. I don't think we're going to get through them.
I don't think we are.
Yeah. So.
No, we're getting at the top of the hour.
Yeah, we're getting really close. Well, we had two clips here by Peter St. Ong. And, you know, can you believe that most Americans are only saving less than 1%.
Oh, I believe it.
Of their income. And I've always told our daughter, you know, that you got to pay yourself. Pay yourself something.
Right.
So the simple thing of buying some Bitcoin for yourself, you know, like the set it and forget it, you're paying yourself.
That's true.
Right? So you got to save. You just have to save. It's
yeah,
important.
But unfortunately, it's really hard for a lot of people.
It is
right
hard.
Now, or it has been, especially over the back 4 years.
I totally get that. But I also look on the other thing, on the other side of things, having done mortgages for a long time, and I look at people's finances, and I'm going, well, they probably could have done away with that coffee or something like that. Not digging on anybody.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to save, you can find a way to do it. Doesn't matter, even if it's a dollar.
Yeah, because I see that, or we see that with taxes, too, because, you know, you end up with a big tax liability.
Sure.
Say it's $10,000, for example, and you turn to the person and you say, do you have $10,000? To pay, and they go, well, no, it's like, well, according to, you should have 10 grand, you know, and then you go back through their stuff and, you know, the wife's been going to Macy's or Nordstrom
or
whatever, like you say, you know, having tea parties.
Yeah. I mean, times are tough and things are expensive, but you have to find somewhere where you might have to cut because saving is very important.
It is important.
Yeah. There's rainy days that happen and tires have to be replaced. There's things that happen.
And it's surprising, just like we talk like with Bitcoin, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
It adds up. It really does.
And it's not deflationary. At least if you could buy a little bit of Bitcoin, it's growing in the future. So
that's true.
Your savings actually is growing.
But I get amazed sometimes with set it and forget it, you know, and then you go into Swan and you go, wow, that's kind of kind of nice how much you got in there now.
I Schrodinger'd here.
A Schrodinger. So with that, I guess we're about it, huh?
We'll see you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
Take care.
Now climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.